Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Fellow Falcoholics, what is up? Welcome to the Dirty Birds of Brews podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Knight, at Falcoholic Kevin, here to bring you another draft-centric episode as we get ever closer to the NFL draft here. Just a few more weeks to go until we're having our draft party, which is a great time to remind folks that we will once again be live during all 3 days of the 2024 NFL draft. We will be going live usually about 15 minutes or so before the picks start, and we'll take you through the end of the round, typically for day one and day two, obviously, and then day three, whenever the Falcons are done with their picks, we'll probably sign off, because that's a long show, but definitely looking forward to that. Again, we've once again got some NFL shop gift cards to give away. I believe we'll be giving away four $50 gift cards. One will be given away on each day. And then we will also have a giveaway for our patrons and channel members exclusively. So you will want to, of course, be here for that. And also for the great content, of course. But, you know, why not sweeten the pot a little bit, right? And, you know, get some extra folks in here. But we're excited to do that again with you guys. We're working on getting some wonderful guests lined up for this year's show as well. So we're looking forward to that. In the meantime, though, we do have plenty of pre-draft stuff to talk about, including a topic that's been pretty popular lately, which is the Falcons trading down from 8 or making other trades. The main thing we'll talk about in this show is how realistic is it that the Falcons could trade down from the 8th overall pick, but we'll also discuss some other potential trades, you know, mostly on day 2, the potential for a trade up. I know some people have raised that question. Basically, like the scenarios where it could be possible, how possible is it? What type of compensation could you realistically expect for some of these trades? And we'll go from there. We'll see where that takes us. But before we get too far down the road, let me bring you a real quick word from today's sponsor, betonline.ag. Folks, BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. You can get all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams on their path to the playoffs and beyond. And you can get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. I know that the March Madness has wrapped up or is actively wrapping up, but there's plenty more out there, guys. Like they said, MLB is getting going. There's golf. There's NBA. I'm sure they have a lot of very esoteric sports out there, or not esoteric if you follow it. Maybe it's not esoteric, but lots of good stuff on there, guys. Check it out. Head to that website today, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so today we're going to be talking about trade downs, and trades in general are like something that's really difficult to predict and not something you should ever like take for granted, like, oh, well, they should just trade, because you never know, first of all, who's going to be interested in the trade, because it depends a lot on the picks that happen in front of the Falcons, and it depends on what teams do up until the draft. Like, we've already seen some relatively big trades like for players, and that can change the way teams, you know, like it could change teams' needs to the point where, oh, well, this team that we thought was going to be interested in trading up for an offensive tackle, they just signed three offensive tackles, so they're not going to do that anymore. It's really tough to predict, so I would never consider a trade at any point in the draft particularly likely to happen. It's always more likely that they'll just stay and pick. But in this draft class, there is a very real opportunity for the Falcons to trade down. It's not a joke. It's not something that's far-fetched. But it isn't, I would say, like the most likely thing to happen, certainly. I think it's probably hovering. Like, I think this is probably a more likely year where we could see a trade down for the Falcons. So maybe you could peg the chances at like 25% or something like that, roughly 20 to 25%. So 1 in 4, 1 in 5 that they have an opportunity to trade down. Whether they actually take that is, you know, another question entirely. But picking at 8 and a pretty good top 10. There could be opportunities to trade down, and we're going to explore some of those opportunities and what the compensation could look like for Atlanta. And it really all depends, right, on what happens in front of the Falcons as to which teams are going to be interested in moving up, which type of players are there, and whether the Falcons are even interested in trading down, because if a guy falls to the Falcons that they really love, they're probably not going to be very interested in trading. You also have to take into account the players that the Falcons do want, and the honest truth there is that they may really covet a particular edge rusher, in which case they probably can't trade down and expect to get that specific edge rusher. But if they're happy with two or three of the top edge rushers, or if they're happy with some of the corners as well, then they could trade down easily to, you know, four or five spots and have one of those guys available without question. So it really just depends on who the Falcons want. And that's a big part of it, but we don't know that. So again, hard to predict. But if I'm the Falcons and I'm wanting to trade down, the best case scenario for Atlanta is for that fourth quarterback to still be there at eight. And I think given everything that we've heard, all of the buzz and all that, and the buzz is sometimes wrong, so don't take this as fact, but there it appears that the Vikings are going to be ultra aggressive to get the fourth quarterback. They will probably not wait to eight to try to make that move. You know, they've acquired those two first round picks this year, and they're going to try to package those to move up. I think that's pretty clear. Whether that's four or five probably depends on the asking price for those two teams. But you know, that's something that's out of our control, but I wouldn't expect the Vikings, like, I think that fourth quarterback is probably going at four or five, because I think the Vikings know that they can't wait until six, because the Giants are a very real threat to take that fourth quarterback. So, you know, I think that fourth quarterback being there would be the best option for the Falcons, because there'd be a lot of teams trying to get up for that quarterback. But again, I don't think that's particularly realistic. So the next best thing would be probably for one of the three wide receivers to still be there. Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze. I think there's a lot of teams that view, I think there's a clear hierarchy and a clear tier of receiver that's those three guys, and then it drops off. And I think those three guys teams consider like true number one type receivers. Whereas the guys behind them can be number one receivers, but I don't think they're viewed as like the slam dunks that these three guys are. So there's a number of teams that could be interested in getting those receivers. And then the other one would be Joe Alt, which again, if you have four quarterbacks and three receivers go, then Joe Alt will be there at eight. And I think there will be teams interested in getting Joe Alt, because I feel like, I mean, me personally, I have Joe Alt like in a tier by himself. There are definitely some other very good tackles, and there will be a lot of tackles that go in the first round this year, but I think Joe Alt is clearly the number one tackle. He's the blue chip guy, and I think there's a number of very good tackles, but I think Alt is like the number one clear guy. So I think teams that are looking for that instant starter that is going to have Pro Bowl potential right out of the gate, that's Joe Alt. And I think the other ones are maybe a little bit more works in progress, which is fine, but we could see teams get aggressive to get Joe Alt, because, you know, the Jets at 10 in particular will probably take him if he's there, along with some other teams, you know, so the teams will probably try to get aggressive for Joe Alt if he is there. I don't know if 8 is where they'll want to go. I mean, they could go 9 too, but that is another good option. And then, of course, the other option is, you know, quarterback 5. Quarterback 5 is probably not going to be off the board at 8, but we've seen more and more mock drafts where for like 5-6 quarterbacks are going in the first round, because there's this log jam of quarterback needy teams that are like right in this range. You got the Vikings, you got the Broncos, and you got the Raiders, and all three of them want a quarterback. And I think, you know, they could potentially get aggressive for a quarterback. You know, one of them will probably just wait, but you know, if they have a preference like Bo Nix and Michael Penix, again, I think that this is very rich for them. But I think we will see teams, there's a chance we could see the Broncos and Raiders trying to get up to get their choice guy, whether that's Penix or Nix or whoever. That could be an option for a trade as well. So, you know, all of those scenarios could play out. Those could be options. But again, the Bears are also a potential trade down partner, so the Falcons can't necessarily demand like an exorbitant rate, because the Bears, other than unless teams are coming up for a wide receiver, that would be the one thing where the Bears are likely to take one. So teams can't really depend on bargaining with the Bears for that pick. If it's for the quarterback or for Joe Alt, the Bears could be a cheaper partner for teams. So they, you know, the Falcons don't have as much leverage there, but if it's for the wide receivers, the Falcons have all the leverage there. So, you know, I think if you're looking at trade downs, you're probably looking at small ones, and you're not talking about massive compensation. You know, I think people think it's a first round trade down, you should be getting like huge compensation. That's not the case when you're outside the top five and when you're only moving a couple spots. Like, one very common trade is that the Falcons just swap back a couple spots with the Jets. The Jets really want Joe Alt or something like that, or maybe a wide receiver even after they've added I'm blanking out on his name, but you know the one. They just added a big wide receiver. But the Jets are going all in, so they could send the Falcons like a third round pick or something like that. You know, they have 72. They could send 72 to the Falcons to just go up a couple spots and then get Joe Alt, get their choice wide receiver there. That one is really simple, and the Falcons, I think it would be a no-brainer if that's the offer to go ahead and take that deal, because it's, you pick up a third-round pick for dropping two spots, and the Bears are probably not taking your edge rusher. They could, it certainly, but you're only, you know, potentially losing one of the three edge rushers. So, you know, unless you're just completely like, we need Dallas Turner, we're not interested in the other guys, then it should be okay. You know, you could still get Lotta, you could still get Verse, or maybe, you know, the Bears take Verse, and then you take one of those two guys at 10. You know, that's very low risk for the Falcons, unless they are completely, we only want X guy. That's probably one of the easiest trades to pull off, and one of the simplest ones, certainly. The Vikings, at 11, I believe, are trading up higher, so I don't think they're in play. So I'm not really going to spend any time on the Vikings. I mean, if they haven't been able to get a deal done and the quarterbacks don't go that fast, then yeah, I think the Vikings trading up to 8 to make sure they're ahead of these other teams that are probably also getting aggressive, then yes, I think the Vikings could trade up, and they'll probably be more aggressive than maybe the Jets would be. So maybe the Falcons could squeeze out something from that. But, you know, I think for the most part, they're going to be ahead of this curve and trying to get into the top five for that quarterback. But then you have two teams that I feel like are super interesting, and the Broncos and Raiders. I think that the Broncos are obviously in like tear it down and rebuild mode, but I think that timeline fits well with like a Michael Penix, for example. And I think that, you know, Sean Payton theoretically could love a quarterback like that. He could also love a Bo Nix, who is just a very pro ready guy. But, you know, with the Broncos timeline, I could see them liking one of these two guys. And again, the trade up from 12 to 8 isn't going to be exorbitant for the Broncos. You know, again, it's probably like a third round pick and a pot sweetener. Maybe you could get a second. They don't have a second this year, so you might have to take, you know, if you really want a second, you could take next year's second potentially, and then get like a fourth this year or something. You know, but that's one of the problems, is the Broncos don't have that second round pick to send. So you might have to just take a third and then maybe like a fifth or something like that, as like a pot sweetener. But they don't have a second rounder, so that makes that a little bit dicey in terms of the value you can get there. But again, if you pick up a future second, that's not a terrible idea either, given that the Broncos are likely to be rebuilding, and that could potentially be a very early second. So might not be a bad idea to consider that future second either. And then you get to the Raiders, who I think are very interesting as well. They're also a team that could be in that quarterback market, looking for a quick turnaround.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
And they, you know, again, they've got the Broncos ahead of them. And if they really like Penix or Nix and they want to get up, the Raiders do have a second round pick. So they are in a better position this year to send 44 to the Falcons to get up to 8. It's, again, this is starting to get further and further down the board. But I think for the Falcons, as long as they don't fall behind 14, they have a they are almost entirely safe to get one of the top three edge rushers. I don't think they really have to worry about missing out on all three of them. If they want a specific one, then it's dangerous to trade out of 8. But I think if they're comfortable with like Latu and Verse and Turner or some combination of those guys, they could go all the way down to 13 and be very confident that they'll be able to get one of those two, one of those three guys at that pick, because the Saints are one of the teams that could potentially go for an edge rusher. I think now they're more likely to go for a tackle because of Ryan Ramczyk's stuff. But at this state, they're a danger for that, along with the Seahawks, along with the Jaguars potentially. But you know, that I think the most likely trades are Jets, Broncos, Raiders. Like, those three teams are the ones that are the most likely, and they're again, the Falcons aren't risking a whole lot by going down a little bit, and they probably could pick up a day two asset in return, which is nice. It's nice for a lot of reasons. It could be used for another potential trade that we'll talk about. You know, I will mention that I'm running the Falcons in the SB Nation Writers Mock Draft, which is where a representative from every team, all 32 teams, is making the picks and basically running the war room for every team. And I was approached by the Rams trying to get up to get Joe Alt at 8, and they were extremely aggressive in their offer to the point where I felt like I needed to take it. And the Rams basically sent they sent a third rounder this year, and then they sent their 2025 first to get up to number 8 to take Joe Alt. And I think for the Falcons, getting a future first is great. Like, I mean, I think that is something that gives you so much flexibility, so much potential for other moves. You can flip it for a player. You can package it to move up in the draft, because again, the Falcons are probably going to be a better team this year. They're probably gonna be picking in the 20s if everything works out right. So they could package that Rams pick with their pick to move up for a player if they really like somebody. They could trade it for someone, like a high-end player potentially. You know, they could do a lot of stuff with it. It gives them a lot of options, and it's always nice to have those two first-round picks and just take them both also. Just get two good players in here for a team that should be entering their winning window. So and they also got, 83, I think, and got an extra day two pick this year too. So it worked on a lot of levels, but that again is a risky one. Going down to 19, you know, you're kind of risking missing out on those edge rushers. But I haven't made the pick at 19 yet. So far, only Dallas Turner has gone. And I believe we're on pick 16 and only Dallas Turner has gone. So, you know, fingers crossed, one of those edge rushers will still be there. I'm worried. I think the Seahawks will take one. But other than that, you know, the Jags and the Bengals, you know, we'll see. If, you know, I think if the Jaguars pass, then we'll get one of the edge rushers at 19. But if we don't, we'll be able to get a corner, because no corners have gone so far. So we could potentially get Quinyon Mitchell at 19, which I would be totally fine with as well. I don't think it's as big of a need as edge, but it's still a great player and a great value, especially at pick 19. So I think I'm going to be pretty happy with that trade down when it's all said and done. But again, that's a more aggressive and random one. I don't know that the real Rams would be willing to be that aggressive, but if some kind of crazy deal like that comes around, I would consider it, especially if a future first is involved, because again, I think the flexibility that it gives you is pretty amazing. And I certainly like how that could work out for the Falcons. Other than that, you know, I think talking about potential trades in on day two, that's really been where Terry Fontenot has done most of his trade work. The Falcons have moved around on day two multiple times. Under Terry Fontenot, they've moved up, they've moved down, they've moved around, you know, side to side. No, I'm just kidding. But they like to move around on day two, and I think right now they're very well positioned to do that. They have those two thirds, they have a relatively early second, and they have a lot of day three picks. I think they have 2 sixths, and they've got a fifth, and they've got a fourth. They've got a lot of day three ammunition, so they could package some of those day three picks with one of their thirds to move back into the second round. I've done that in a mock for like a wide receiver. You know, if they do miss out on one of these top edge guys, and like if they do trade down and miss out on an edge guy, like say they do the trade that I did with the Rams where you're picking at 19, you miss out on the edge guys, you get Quinyon Mitchell, you're happy with that, but you really want to get that edge. You could potentially package, you'd have three thirds, you could package, you know, a third with your second and get up into the late first round potentially to get Chop Robinson or another edge that you like. I mean, I'm not the biggest Chop Robinson fan, but I know his potential's through the roof. I won't argue that. So if they want to go swing on Chop Robinson, they could do that. They could try to trade up for somebody else if they like, or they could move around on day two some more and, you know, trade up for a guy, trade back into the second round, get another edge rusher, get another, you know, player, whatever you like. They have a lot of flexibility, or they could just make all those picks add tons of depth, which is a lot of times that's what the Rams have done, to be honest. If we're talking, you know, back on the Rams, Raheem Morris coming from that team, they just load up on players a lot of the time. So they like to load up on these young players and get them on the field. So that could also be an option. They just load up on this young depth and start building this roster more like the Ravens do, where they just load up on these players and then they start letting some of them walk, and they re-sign some, but they let some walk, and then they start collecting comp picks, and it just leads to them having these huge draft classes every year. So I think that could also, we know Fontenot likes that style. So that could be an option too. Maybe they don't end up trading much at all, or maybe they just trade back and collect more picks. But I think a day two trade is maybe even more likely than a day one trade, given the Falcons, preferences in the past. But I guess the answer to the main question of the show, right? How realistic is a trade down for the Falcons? I think it's realistic. I think 20 to 25% is probably the highest I would go in terms of like realism, but you know, it really depends. It takes two to tango. You got to have a trade partner. And how much leverage do you have based on the players that are there? How much are you asking? Are you asking for like a premium compensation? Because if you are, it's less likely someone's going to take the deal. If you're willing to take, you know, average compensation, it's going to make it a lot easier. So, and how locked in are you on a particular prospect at 8? If you're locked in on Dallas Turner, you're probably going to have to take him at 8. If you're more flexible, if you've got multiple guys that you value in like a cluster together, which some teams do, then you could be a little bit more flexible and consider that trade down. But this is a little bit of a shorter episode, but I just wanted to talk about this because this is a big topic. This is something that a lot of people have just said, like, oh, well, just trade down. You can't just trade down. You got to have a trade partner. You got to have players fall that teams want. It's a little bit more complicated, but I would say that the answer is yes, that it is realistic. 20 to 25% would be my personal thoughts on how realistic it actually is. But it could be on day two. It could be from 8 down. I know, you know, I mentioned that briefly I'd touch on trading up. I don't think the Falcons are interested in trading up at all. I think it's just going to be way too expensive. And I think like it just doesn't make a lot of sense for them. They could, but I don't like, it would be like if they were trying to get like, I guess the top receiver, or like wanted to guarantee that they got Joe Alt or something like that, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I think they're probably happy to just sit and wait for the edge rusher if that's what they want, if they want to be aggressive for a particular player. I just think trading up ahead of 5 is going to be way too expensive. And like, given, you know, unless you're trying to get a wide receiver specifically, there's not really any reason to trade in front of the Giants or Titans. I just don't think it's necessary. So, but guys, thank you so much for watching Dirty Birds and Brews today. I'm Kevin Knight of Alcoholic Kevin. Check out Bet Online. Thanks to those guys for sponsoring today's episode. Check out the channel memberships. Check out the Patreon if you're interested in that. I will be back on Wednesday to bring you another show. We're going to have Will McFadden joining us on live. So join us there, 8 p.m. Eastern, for that show. And then, of course, like, subscribe, leave that 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice, folks. Thank you again for tuning in to Dirty Birds and Brews. We'll see you next time. Have a great day, folks.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.